This is Dial a Saint introducing Saint Catherine Laboure. While some nations and people attempt to conquer the world using weapons and armies, the life of Catherine Laboure shows how Our Lady has worked through this unschooled country girl to conquer our hearts with a medal. Zoe Laboure was born in the year 1803 in a small village near Dijon, France, the second oldest in a family of 10. Even though both parents were educated, Zoe received little schooling because everyone was needed to help on their farm. All of the children, however, were carefully taught to love God. When Madeleine Laboure died, Zoe, who was 8 years old, went to the family statue of Our Lady and said, "Now, Blessed Mother, you will be my mother." She and her younger sister were sent away to stay with an aunt for 2 years, who gave them their only formal schooling. When the oldest sister entered the convent, Zoe was 12 years old. She had made her first communion and changed her name to Catherine. Now she was expected to care for the family and the house. Her days were spent looking after the 8 children, cleaning and cooking, as well as taking the meals to the 14 hired farm workers. Her delight was to care for the colony of 800 pigeons, who almost buried her when she called them to feed. After all the work was completed, she would usually be found praying in the church. One evening she had a dream in which Saint Vincent called her to the religious life, but it was only with a great deal of difficulty that her father gave his consent. He was afraid to lose his excellent housekeeper. At the age of 24, she entered the novitiate of the Sisters of Charity in Paris. Within a few days of her arrival, she was granted the privilege of actually seeing Saint Vincent, who had founded the religious order. She asked him if she might be allowed to see Our Lady. One night, her guardian angel appeared to her in the form of a small child surrounded with light. He led her to the chapel, saying, "The Blessed Virgin is waiting for you." When they had both entered the brilliantly lit chapel, Catherine heard the rustling of a gown, and a lady dressed in a white robe and blue veil came and sat down in a chair at the altar. But Catherine hesitated, because the face of the lady did not seem to be as she had imagined the Mother of God would look. The angel said more sternly, "Can't the Queen of Heaven choose to appear to poor mortals in any way she wishes?" Catherine immediately knelt down and folded her hands on Our Lady's lap like she would her own mother.
At that moment, I experienced the sweetest feeling I had ever known. Our Lady explained to me how I was to act in all my difficulties, and, pointing to the altar, she told me to go there and open my heart. At the altar, I should receive all the consolations I would need. Then she added,
"My child, I have a mission to entrust to you. You will have to suffer much in the performance of it, but the thought that it will be for the glory of God will enable you to overcome all your trials. You will be opposed, but do not be afraid. Grace will be given to you. Come to the foot of this altar. Here, graces will be poured out on all who ask for them, great or small, but people must pray."
I cannot tell how long I remained with the Blessed Virgin. All I know is that after speaking some time with me, she vanished like a shadow.
After Catherine rose from the place where she was kneeling, the child led her back to her room. 4 months later, as she was in the chapel praying, she heard the rustling of a silken gown, and again Our Lady stood before her.
She was of middle height, beautiful beyond description, and dressed in a robe white as dawn. Her head was covered with a white veil which fell to her feet, and she stood upon a globe which represented the world. In her hands she held another globe, and as she presented it to our Lord, she raised her eyes to heaven, and her face became transfigured. Suddenly, her fingers were covered with rings set with rare precious stones, some of which gave off rays of such brilliance that her feet and robe were no longer visible.
"Behold, these rays are symbols of the graces I bestow on those who ask for them. The stones which give out no rays represent the graces for which we forget to ask.
Gradually there appeared around our Blessed Lady a sort of oval frame on which was written in letters of gold, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Then it seemed as though the frame turned around. On the back of it was the letter M with a cross, and underneath the hearts of Jesus and Mary, one surrounded with a crown of thorns, the other pierced by a sword.
Have a medal made according to this pattern. Those who wear it, when indulgenced, will receive great graces, especially if they wear it around their necks. There will be abundant graces for those who have confidence.
In a last appearance, Our Lady said to Catherine,
My child, you will not see me any more, but you will hear my voice during your prayers.
Her 1 year's stay in the convent was soon up, and she was assigned to a hospice to help the aged and infirm. She told only her confessor priest about her secret, but he did not rush to do what Catherine had related to him. He often tested her to see if she would tell others about the secret visions. Meanwhile, he had consulted his superiors about Catherine's request for the medal. Word soon spread about the visions, but not even those near to Catherine could find any hint that she had been the one so greatly favored by the Mother of God. However, time passed, and still nothing was done to make the medal. Again Our Lady spoke to Catherine, complaining that her commands had not been carried out.
But, Mother, you know that my confessor does not believe me.
Do not fear. The day will come when he will do as I desire. He is my servant, and he will be afraid of offending me.
When Catherine told her confessor about this conversation, he acted quickly, and the medal was made. Immediately, people eagerly sought to wear it, and there were reports of wonderful graces, cures, and conversions. Each person who wore it had their own particular story to tell of its remarkable influence. The medal was given a special place of honor in the liturgy of a Mass, equal to the brown scapular and the rosary. As for Catherine, she preferred to remain unknown, doing her daily work as well as she could for God. Her superiors remarked how inconspicuous she was as she cared for the sick and managed the cattle and the poultry. The fact that Our Lady used her as an instrument was not the main reason why she was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1947. She had cultivated a devotion to Our Lady and allowed this devotion to influence her way of life. During the 46 years she worked in the hospice, she made the Rosary and the Holy Eucharist the center of her life. Catherine died in 1876, but her body has been miraculously preserved from corruption and is kept today in the very chapel where she spoke with Our Lady. We can also realize Our Lady's objectives for us. It is to make perfect our ordinary state of life by doing the best we can out of love for God. The Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, located at 4th and Michigan Streets Northeast in Washington, D.C., has a chapel commemorating the miraculous medal. It is open daily for visitors. The medal by itself is only a piece of metal, but for the wearer to receive the graces available through Mary, he must in faith say the words found on the medal, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Thank you for calling Dial a Saint.